Welcome to the Revitalize Woman podcast with Dr. Brenda Heineke, where we bring health and wellness professionals together to talk about all aspects of women's health, from pregnancy to menopause and everything in between. Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Revitalize Woman podcast. On today's episode, I interview Molly Peterson, who is an international board-certified lactation consultant and the owner of Peterson Lactation Services here in Milwaukee, and also the professional development coordinator for the United States Lactation Consultant Association. Molly is such a great person, and it was so fun to talk with her. On the episode, we talk about all the ways a lactation consultant can help and support moms and babies, as well as some of the misconceptions around lactation services. In fact, I talk about my own experience with lactation consultants when I first had my son and how that skewed my view of them at the time. There's also tons of great information for all you mamas out there on positioning, posture, pain, and more. Also, Molly has played an integral role of bringing a milk bank to Authentic Birth Center, where her practice is located, with donor milk available. We talk about this and how women can get access to that milk and also donate if interested. Lastly, before we jump in, I wanted to remind you to head on over to the Revitalized Woman community on Facebook and join our group for more insider tips and support. With the new year right around the corner, we have lots of great things planned within the community. Also, our fundraising campaign is in full swing right now for our research study, and we are still in need of your help. Any financial contribution you can make would be much appreciated. And please share it with your network to help us get the word out there. All right, enough housekeeping. Let's dive into my talk with Molly. Hey, Molly. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
Yes, I am super pumped today to get to pick your brain about all things lactation.
Sounds great.
So why don't we start off with you telling me a little bit about your background and how you got into lactation?
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting story, I think, because I don't have kids yet. And so a lot of women, I think, get into this field because they, you know, breastfed their own babies and they're passionate about it, or they had some difficulties or things they needed to work on. And that's how they got in the field. But for me, I don't have kids yet. Hopefully soon. Jake, if you're listening, that's a hint. And so I was in college. My background's in speech pathology. And okay. So when I'm in college, I worked as a pharmacy tech. And when the Affordable Care Act happened and you could get a breast pump through insurance, they came to me and they're like, hey, you could like do this, right? You like babies. Is that something you could handle, like giving out breast pumps? And I was like, yeah, sure. It can't be that hard, right? Sure. So we started the department and things were really busy and going really great. But I got to the point where I was like, I need to know more. I can't just say, here's your pump. Good luck. So I took this week-long certified lactation specialist course in Rockford, Illinois. It was lovely. I learned so much and I fell in love. It really jived with what I was learning in school, all about, you know, oral function and anatomy and swallowing and all that kind of stuff. So when I graduated with my bachelor's in communicative disorders, I decided, okay, this is it. This is what I want to do. So I kind of took the steps to become an IBCLC, which is what I am now. I'm an international board certified lactation consultant. And so it took a couple years after I graduated college to like meet all of the requirements, but I sat for my boards in April of 2016, and here we are a couple years later. So it's been a fun journey.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so exciting. And you're now practicing out of Authentic.
Yes, I am. It's been wonderful. I started out at a clinic in Mundelein called Cygnus Lactation Services and trained there, did my internship there, worked there for a couple years. We had a Kenosha office for a while. And then my husband got a job in Brookfield, and he was commuting from Kenosha to Brookfield every day for work. And we're like, man, we got to get closer for him. So yeah. We just bought our first house. And so I started working at Authentic earlier this year, and it's been so great to have all the midwives and see all the babies like right after delivery. I've never experienced that before, so it's been a lot of fun.
Oh, that's awesome. And I'm sure just a completely different way of practice too,
really,
because
is.
You're like right up in everything, yeah. in all of the action. Yeah. And
we, you know, have the ability, like, to bring a chiropractor in if I think, you know, oh, this baby seems a little tight, or, you know, call a midwife in if mom needs all-purpose nipple ointment or something. Like, everybody's right there, willing to help, willing to step in, and that makes it, you know, a lot of team effort going on.
Yeah, that's awesome. I actually have talked with Lynette on the podcast, which can link to in the show notes for anyone listening, but that was something her and I had talked about, with just bringing in this like collaborative care yes. model into, you know, women's health essentially. Absolutely. Because it's something that we try to do here now with I'm like really close to adding functional medicine
wow.
in. I'm hoping within the next like month or so.
That's great.
Yeah. So, and I feel like it's just a different, like the missing puzzle piece.
Sure.
And so that's great that you have all of those resources available too.
Yeah, right under one roof, which yeah. Unheard of, I feel like. It's magical, it really is.
Yeah, it probably makes your job a little easier too.
It does, yes, because if I, you know, oh, there's a, you know, baby 4 days old, you know, I think he may need a little bit of extra help or just another set of eyes on him, you know, we can call in a whole team of people who are experienced in different ways, and it just makes for a better experience for mom, better health outcomes for baby, so it's really great.
Yeah, definitely, the opportunity to collaborate with yes. others, and like you said, another set of eyes.
Yes, and I've learned so much just sitting yeah. in and like a fly on the wall almost, just listening while they, you know, talk to these moms and talk to, you know, even the babies. They're just so warm and energetic, and you just learn so much.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, can you explain a little with what you all do as a lactation consultant?
Yeah.
And what does that all entail?
Sure. So as a lactation consultant, like I mentioned, I am an international board certified lactation consultant. So in order to become a lactation consultant, there's a lot of hoops you have to jump through. You have to have 1,000 hours, or at least the path I chose, 1,000 hours of clinical practice. You have to have college courses under your belt. You have to have 90 hours of specific lactation education training, and then sit for your board exam. So okay. there's a lot that goes into it, which I think is great. You have to have, you know, a big set of knowledge, which is good. And then, you know, within my scope of practice, I help moms meet their feeding goals, whether they want to breastfeed or bottle feed, you know, use breast milk formula, whatever that looks like for that dyad is kind of what I try to accomplish. So moms come in and we, you know, do oral exams to make sure there's not any restrictions. If there is, we can call a chiropractor in, which is great. And then, you know, kind of work on making sure breastfeeding's going well. We do a lot of, you know, making sure, yes, breastfeeding's going well and fixing those issues if there are any, but also reassuring. Yes, you are doing great. There's no gauge on your breast to show how much baby's eating. So doing a weighted feed with parents is helpful because they can see, oh, wow, look, your baby did take in a whole feeding. You are doing great. Let's keep this up. Come back and see me if you need to, but keep up the great work. Or just work towards, you know, oh, your nipple kind of hurts. Let's see if we can tweak that position a little bit to figure out why. Bring a chiropractor in so we can do some adjustments, see if that loosens baby up, and then put baby to the breast. So it's just a lot of helping parents make sure that they're meeting their feeding goals with their newborn. And then long term, mom's going back to work. What does that mean now? She has to start pumping. How does that happen? And then starting solids when baby gets to that point. So we kind of try to follow babies, you know, throughout their first year, if not longer, to make sure that they're set up for healthy outcomes, make sure that mom is going to be taken care of and her nipples feel good and baby's eating and everybody's happy.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
I feel like so many people think lactation consultants are just for breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. But it's the whole scope, and it can help no matter what option you choose.
Yeah, and feeding. You know, a lot of families, I think, okay, they're going to come in and Molly's going to make me breastfeed, or I have to breastfeed. That is not the case at all. If you want to breastfeed some of the time, bottle feed some of the time, breastfeed once a day, you know, whatever that looks like for you, I'm here to help you make your goals and your baby thrive, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Do you feel like that's kind of one of the most common misconceptions, too, within lactation?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's different, you know, areas that people work in, and some, you know, hospital lactation consultants maybe, you know, have different approaches or different ideas than, you know, like me, I work in private practice. So, you know, someone may have had one experience while they're in the hospital, and then, you know, maybe it wasn't a great experience, or maybe it was lovely. And so they have these different expectations for coming in to see me. And I try to be very upfront that, like, I am not here to tell you how to do anything, or you have to do it this way. I'm here to educate you. I'm here to give you whatever information you need. For some moms, they crave that information. information and they want every nugget you can give them. Yeah. Where other situations, you know, they just may need enough information to get them to tomorrow or, you know, next week. And then we can have you come back in and kind of rework that situation. So sure. It's really meeting that mom, that baby, that family where they're at and kind of helping them meet their goals.
Yeah. And individualizing exactly. It per scenario.
Yes. There's not one size fits all. It is completely, you know, what mama needs. And I think that's important.
Yeah, I totally agree. When I had my son, we had him at the hospital. Okay. And I went into it kind of with this expectation that I didn't really want to breastfeed. And so sure. I ended up exclusively pumping. That's and awesome. I've done that with both kids.
Yeah.
So I nursed, like, in the hospital until really my milk, like, came in. This mm-hmm. is probably way TMI no. for those listening. Like,
hey, if
cares,
you're listening, but... like, you're going to hear all of it, I'm sure.
But it was so interesting because we were at the hospital, like, 2 days.
Yep.
The first day, a lactation consultant came in.
Yep.
And I told her right off the bat, you know, I'm not looking to breastfeed. Sure. Like, I wanted to just pump. And she was so... against that. I was like, oh, no, you have to breastfeed, blah, blah, blah. And that's I'm like, hard. Well, I can tell you, like, I already know I have to go back to work soon. And it just, right. like, for me, you know, wasn't the option I wanted to go right. with. So unhelpful. And then the second day, we had a different one.
Oh, good.
And I told her, and she was like, okay, great. And, like, helped me figure out my pump yeah. and how to use it right. and make sure everything, like, fit well. And right. I think that's really important to point out because... I mean, yes, it depends, like, who you work with, mm-hmm, but, like, mm-hmm. I think it's important to know that you guys can really help with, you know, those that want to exclusively Absolutely. Pump, like, set it all up because yeah. there's not a lot of information, I feel like, out there sure. about pumping.
Right. There's a lot of Facebook groups, but, you know, you yes. can't get every information out of a Facebook group. And there's no. so much information out there or so little, like, about pumping that you don't even know where to start. So finding right. someone who can help kind of navigate is always important.
Yeah. For those that do choose to exclusively mm-hmm. pump, like, what's kind of your best advice for those?
Yeah. So, you know, the biggest thing is going to be frequent breast stimulation and drainage. That's what, you know, your body's way of knowing, okay, we got to make milk. So typically we recommend feeding babies every 2 to 3 hours. We're going to do the same thing for the pumping. So, you know, you want to at least be pumping every couple hours, at least 8 times a day, if not more. And that's going to help you bring in a full supply within those first 6 weeks. And then once you reach that 6 week point, that's kind of when your body regulates its milk supply. You kind of hit your peak, your output peak. And so then, you know, making sure you're draining your breasts at least 7 times a day. And I always okay. tell parents the duration in between doesn't matter. If it's every hour or every 4 hours, as long as you're getting that 7 times in a 24-hour period, that's the biggest thing. And really, you know, if you're separated from your baby, look at videos, watch picture or look at pictures, you know, bring one of their little onesies with you to work and sniff it while you're pumping, whatever you can do to get that oxytocin release. And that's going to be, you know, really helpful long term.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Why does it not matter with the time in between pumping?
Yeah, your body just needs to be stimulated and drained a certain number of times a day, usually 8 or more in the first 6 weeks, 7 around that 6 week point, and that's going to be maintained until you start to wean. And so your body just needs to know, okay, I've been told this many times per day that I need to be making milk. If you think of your body or your breast kind of like a factory, we need to keep the factory working at full time, not part time. So we want to make sure we're stimulating and draining that optimal number of times per day so that your body knows to continue to make milk.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I had never heard of it mm-hmm. explained that way.
Yeah.
So what do you, I feel like, and I could be totally off, but I feel like I hear all the time people say, like, breastfeeding is so painful. Mm. And I know that shouldn't be
right.
true.
Right.
Can you talk a little bit more about that? And, like, what are the reasons that it could be painful?
Sure.
And, you know, what's really sort of like a normal way that yeah. people should experience that.
Yeah, so breastfeeding should never be painful. I tell moms that in prenatal appointments or those first, you know, couple visits all the time because it is true. You know, it's normal for it to be, you know, maybe a little bit tender or or you feel, you know, like that tugging sensation at the nipple. You know, most women may not have had somebody suck on their nipple for 40 minutes at a time. So, you know, it's a new experience for a lot of women, but it should never hurt. So the biggest thing I see with a lot of, especially new mamas, is they're not bringing baby deep enough onto their breast. These little babies are fragile, or they think they're fragile, and they don't want to, you know, smush them in too close. When really, the deeper the nipple goes in the mouth, the farther back it's going to go, and it almost gets to a point of protection. We want that nipple kind of at the juncture between your hard and soft palate. So for a baby that's not too far back, they've got these tiny little mouths, but it really helps put your nipple out of harm's way. So that way when baby sucks, you know, they're getting this big gush of milk, and they're not closing those nipple pores shut every time, and they're not compressing that nipple over and over again against their hard palate. So that makes a big difference. And so that's usually the number one thing. You know, moms come in, she's like, man, my nipples really hurt. I don't know what's going on. You know, change up position just a little bit. We make sure baby's head is positioned a little differently. We see a lot of times, you know, baby goes in nose first, and then they're kind of trying to drink with their chin almost touching their chest. And that's, you know, hard for anybody. I couldn't do that comfortably. So, you know, having baby look up at the nipple, aiming that nipple towards the top lip, pulling them on nice and snug so that their cheeks are flush against your breast. That's the number one thing I tell parents. I say it 1,000 times in my breastfeeding classes all the time, because it's important. Cheeks to breast, make sure that that nipple is far enough back, so that way hopefully there's no, you know, uncomfortable things going on. And then if it does hurt, I usually tell parents, you know, slide in the direction of the pain, which sounds really counterintuitive. Why would you want to slide towards the pain? But really, if, you know, that skin is being pulled really tight, it creates that pinchy feeling, where if we can slide it over that direction, it's going to promote a little bit of laxity in the skin. So hopefully it kind of stops that pinchy feeling, and that usually really helps a lot too.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So if someone is having pain, like, that would be a prime time to, like, see a lactation consultant to kind of assess what's going on.
Sure.
What are some of the other really common things that you see women, moms for primarily?
Sure. So, you know, low milk supply, or perceived low milk supply, is another really big one, where, you know, they come in because they don't think baby's getting enough, or they don't know if baby's getting enough, or I fed baby and then I pumped and I didn't get very much, so that means I must not have that much milk. And it's hard, because like I said before, there's no gauge on your breast to say, baby just took 4 ounces. This is great. And so that can be really stressful, I think, for parents. So whether, you know, moms have low milk supply, or I see way more perceived low milk supply, where they think they've got this low supply and they don't know what to do. That's another big reason a lot of parents come in and see me. And then going back to work, that's another really big one. Like, how do I do this? How do I navigate this? And then, you know, maybe sometimes pediatrician recommended it. You know, your baby's not gaining as much weight as we would like to see. Have you go see a lactation consultant, kind of assess what's going on. And that can be really helpful too. Sometimes it's just a matter of, let's offer baby both breasts instead of just the one. And that's going to help, you know, maximize how much they're going to get. Other times, you know, we may need to work on, you know, baby's efficiency. See if there's something going on where they're, you know, really little, or they were born early, or things like that. Sometimes that can delay their ability to really go to the breast and do their job. Mom's making all this milk, but baby's got to be able to remove it from the breast. So that's a big one too, which is, you know, it's hard. Parents want their babies to go to the breast and do what they're supposed to do. And sometimes you just got to kind of wait for baby, and the puzzle needs to fit together. And once you get there, it's great.
Yeah, I feel like that is something I didn't realize prior to kids, like, just how challenging and how much goes into all of it. Like, breastfeeding is not an easy thing to do. For me, it's so hard when you're like, you have no idea, like, how much they're getting,
right?
Which is partially why I liked having the bottles. I could see it. But how do you, like, someone that is coming in for potentially, like, a low milk supply, or what they think is maybe low, like, what is kind of the best way that you can gauge, like, if baby's getting enough milk or not?
Sure. So, you know, when mom is in the office, we can do weighted feeds, which is really helpful. So we'll weigh baby before, have mom nurse, and then weigh baby after. And the scale that I use is accurate to about a tenth of an ounce. So we can really see how much transfer, how much milk baby has done. But at home, you don't necessarily have that. So I try to teach parents, you know, watching how baby's sucking. That's going to do more than anything. I get a lot of families who say, oh, I read online, I should do 15 minutes on one breast and 15 minutes on the other. And the analogy I like to use is the amount of time I spend in a restaurant doesn't tell me how much food I ate. And the same thing goes for babies. So if we can instead watch what they're doing when they're at the breast versus watching the clock, a lot of times that alleviates some of that stress. Hmm. So when babies are actively eating, you may hear those little swallows, which sound like their chin almost touches their chest, and you can really kind of see those big active swallows. And then they like to snuggle and stay nice and cozy with mom and just do these, we call them little butterfly sucks, where their little throat just kind of flutters back and forth. So okay. What I'll suggest, you know, once those go from those nice big active sucks at home to just those little baby butterfly sucks, take a nice big handful of breast, press and hold, and that changes the pressure. So that way every time baby sucks, he or she's going to get a big mouthful of milk, and that's just going to help make sure baby's draining that breast, they're getting nice and full, mama's draining her breast, and so that way they can go a little bit longer in between feeds, and you know that they're out, you know, getting a little bit more. When they're just doing those little butterfly sucks, they're not really transferring, but they've been at the breast for 40 minutes. So if you're, you know, watching the clock, you're going to think, oh, they got a full feed, they must have, when really let's watch how they're sucking, and that's going to tell us way more than anything else.
Interesting. Yeah. I kind of wanted to circle back when we talked about pain issue.
Sure.
And you talked about positioning with mm-hmm. this, but one of the big things that we see here at the office is a lot of our new moms come in with postural related things,
sure.
oftentimes from how they're positioned with nursing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I feel like they kind of get in this slouched
hunched.
Or forward mm-hmm. position. And so one of the things we always recommend is, you know, using pillows.
Definitely.
Or like two boppies or something. Like I feel like
sure.
one boppy is not enough.
Right.
So that the baby is kind of at the level of the breast,
mm-hmm.
and then you can sit relaxed and not be this like hunched forward.
Sure.
Are there other things that like we could also kind of incorporate with that in terms
yeah.
of positioning to help kind of keep a better
absolutely.
Posture.
So I recommend laid back breastfeeding a lot because I
okay.
think it really helps moms be more comfortable. Like you said, that middle part of your back just starts to hurt, your shoulders start to hurt, you're leaning forward. And I see a lot of moms who, you know, if they're experiencing some pain, they get in one position and they're like, okay, this one is relatively comfortable. I'm just going to sit here like a statue for 20 minutes and not move. And that doesn't do anything for your back. Where if you can recline a little bit, or even if you just scoot your butt a little forward to the chair, recline back so your shoulder blades are touching, it helps baby kind of relax, it helps you kind of relax. I usually recommend, you know, start baby as you would. Sometimes, you know, that breast kind of dangling is helpful for them to kind of get on and get that nice deep latch. But once they're there, scoot forward, recline back, baby's going to be comfortable and feel supported because their weight's going to kind of be on mom.
Okay.
And then mom gets the chance to kind of recline back and take a minute to finally relax after being stressed out or hunched over or whatever's going on.
Sure.
So
okay.
that's usually a good one I recommend.
I'm just thinking like some of the moms that we see
mm-hmm.
Occasionally have issues with like a tailbone injury
sure.
or something like that after
yeah.
childbirth, that maybe a reclined position's not going to be the most comfortable.
Sure.
Like for that, would like something sideline
yeah,
maybe
that
be
would
a better
be exactly
option
what
for
I'd
those
recommend.
Types? Okay.
Yeah, we had a mama at the birth center who delivered, and she had a pretty significant tear. And
mm-hmm.
so sitting on her bottom or reclining was just not going to be an option. So we worked a lot on reclined breastfeeding, or excuse me, sidelying with her.
Okay.
And that really helped. And with sidelying, you know, you want to make sure baby's got a nice clear airway with any position, but really with sidelying. So mom and baby almost make a V at their torso. And then you bring baby in nice and deep. So it kind
okay.
of creates a little bit of space. You can roll a towel up behind baby just for support. That way they don't kind of roll away and take your nipple with them.
Yeah. Yeah. But, it's not ideal.
No, don't want to. Like, we got to call that niplash, and that
yeah.
is not fun for anybody.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So yeah, sideline can be a really good position for, you know, taking the pressure off your bottom or your back. And then, you know, mom gets a chance to lay down, which how often does that happen after you've had a baby?
Right. Yeah. So nice.
Right.
That was the thing I hated the most about pumping, especially at the end of the day. I was so tired.
Oh.
And I would always have to like sit upright because
sure.
if I was reclined, like it wouldn't drain
yeah.
into
yeah.
the bottles. And I'm like, I'm so tired. Mm. I don't want to sit here. I'm like, gosh, if only they designed something where you could just like sleep.
That
but
would be
I know
excellent.
They have the hands-free pumps, but
yeah,
I don't
still don't
think they're I've never tried one,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like, I don't know, you would still probably like spill out of the cups I mean, if you're like laying or reclined or something. But
yeah, for pumping, I usually recommend moms have to a lot of times lean forward just a little bit because it helps that breast drain right into the bottle. But like you said, that's not always comfortable for your back. And hopefully, you know, you're only pumping for 15 or 20 minutes, so it's not long term. But yeah, we want to make sure everybody's comfortable. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, what are your thoughts on the hands-free pumps?
Yeah. So I'm a really big fan of the Haka. I know that's a really popular one. Mm-hmm. And there's no electricity. It's a silicone pump. You kind of invert the top, kind of like an inside-out sombrero. Okay. And then you squeeze the ball, and that generates enough suction once you put it to your breast for like a slow drain. So that's really nice for moms who maybe just need to like take the edge off. You know, they're going to pump for just a minute or two. Or if you don't collapse the sides at the bulb all the way, you just kind of do a gentle suction. It's good for like collecting milk. So if you leak a lot of milk, if you're, you know, feeding baby on one side, you want to collect on the other, that's a really great option. But some of the electric hands-free pumps that I've seen out there, they're okay. I think we're getting there. I think we've got a little ways to go. You definitely look like, you know, Madonna or Dolly Parton walking around. I don't know how women do it, but good for them.
I feel like there's no way that you could like put those in and not have it be visible. Yeah, it's super visible. Obvious.
Yeah.
Or like you would still hear it. I would think
really
to some
quiet.
Degree too.
No, most of them, like the Spectra, isn't hands-free, but it's super quiet. Okay,
yeah.
See, a lot of those pumps are quiet. It's almost like a kitten purring when you listen to it. But yeah, I don't know if you could like walk around the office and, you know, talk to Ted in accounting and not, you know, have him know that you're pumping. But hey, don't care. Who cares?
Yeah, that's how it is here. All pumping. Nice. Like we have three of us all at once. Yay. Pumping, so our staff meetings were quite interesting.
Hey, you gotta do what you gotta do, right?
Yeah, not your typical work environment, I'm sure.
Hey, when you work with a bunch of women, this is what you get, right? Yeah, it's great.
It is what it is.
That's right. I love it.
I wanted to say this too, but I've heard with like the hands-free ones that the suction's not as strong as like if you were using a Spectra or Medela or something like that.
I mean,
because
the motor and the collection system and the flange, it all has to be one unit. And so, you know, those really small units, while they're super handy and portable, we're just not quite at the point yet where they're always super effective. You know, your Spectra, for example, you know, it's not huge, but it's not tiny either. And so it has the motor size to be able to generate enough suction to really drain those breasts, where when it's all built right into one thing, sometimes the motor just can't be big enough to really drain those breasts effectively. So I'm a big fan of the hands-free pumping bra. Then you get, you know, the maximum output with those, you know, motor sizes, but you're hands-free at the same time. And I think that's kind of a nice compromise.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. For sure. So another thing, just picking your brain, but another thing that I talk about a lot here at the office or even when we do our workshops and stuff is I talk about how our hormones really impact so many things that we see, like a lot of the common women's issues like incontinence or prolapse. And I can also link in the show notes to episode 2, I believe it is, about where I talk a little more in depth about hormones. But one of the things I always talk about and keep in mind is that relaxin hormone is within your system the whole time that you're breastfeeding, and then even for quite a while after. And so, you know, for me, I just try to keep in mind that we're still going to have a lot of laxity in terms of joints, but is there any kind of recommendations that you tend to make when a mom is nursing, whether it's breastfeeding or pumping, but something that maybe she should be avoiding or not really?
Not really. Are you talking more about like physical activity?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, obviously when you just had a baby, let's not do anything super crazy. But after that, no, I mean, I see a lot of times like mom's hands get really tired. And so I'll often recommend like, let's, you know, roll up a blanket or let's, you know, get something, another pillow or something. So that way mom is supporting baby's head, not with the hand. So that's what I see a lot. Otherwise, you know, if you're going to be working out, a lot of moms are, you know, avid runners or whatever, kudos to you. You know, we want something that's not a super restrictive sports bra. We want it tight that it's going to be supportive, but we don't want it too tight because that can put pressure on those milk ducts and we don't want that either. But otherwise, you know, breastfeeding moms, pumping moms, they can do what anybody else can, which is always good.
It's like, did you ever see the article about the mom that did, I think it was an Ironman, and she was like pumping.
I did
while
see that.
She was competing in the
How
Ironman
amazing
or something.
Is that? And then she like passed the milk off to her yeah. husband in the sidelines without stopping.
Yeah,
amazing. And there, I Crazy. Can't think of her name. I'm so sorry. Maybe link it if you can.
Yeah,
the woman
I'll
who
see if
just
I can find it.
She beat Usain Bolt's record.
Oh yes, yeah.
And she's like 10 months postpartum, yes. and she's the fastest woman in the world.
Yes.
How amazing is
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I just I can't think of her name.
We'll
either
have to
off
link
the
article.
So bad with names.
I know.
I will find that. I will link that because that
such
is
a cool
pretty
story.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah, women can do so many
anything
amazing
yeah.
things. Yeah,
yeah, it's wonderful.
So I understand that you and in addition, like at Authentic, mm-hmm. are having a milk depot
yeah.
now with donor milk.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about what that all
what does
is going to be?
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. So we are becoming a milk bank depot and dispensary. So we
okay.
work with the Mother's Milk Bank of the Western Great Lakes as a depot and dispensary. So meaning we can dispense pasteurized human milk to families in need and then take approved donor milk when needed. So moms can become an approved donor through the milk bank.
Okay.
It's not a terrible experience or a big process that you have to do. You have usually like a phone call and like an interview screening essentially. And then you have to have your blood tested to make sure, you know, there's not any medications that you're taking, there's not any diseases or things like that you could pass on to others. And then once you're an approved donor, you can drop, you know, extra milk that you have off at Authentic. We'll take that and give it to the Mother's Milk Bank of the Western Great Lakes to pasteurize. And it's really cool because they pool the donor milk, which I just learned about.
Oh, I didn't
know
that.
I think it's great because all of these women are producing different antibodies for their babies. And
I was totally going to ask you about
yes.
this. This is where I was going with it.
Perfect. And yeah. so, yeah, then these babies get the antibodies from, you know, hundreds of different
oh.
women, and so they're just super protected, which is so amazing.
Interesting.
And they have the ability to have preterm and term milk. So if you're in the NICU, you have a little baby born that's early, they're going to get milk specific for those preterm babies, where
oh,
if you have a full-term baby and you're just waiting for your milk to come in or you just need a little extra, they've got milk dedicated for you.
Hmm.
So their ability to be able to pasteurize and, you know, keep the milk separated and give whatever that specific baby needs is huge. So we're really blessed to be able to offer that in the community.
Yeah, that's amazing. I
yeah.
didn't know that either.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that because I was recently at a continuing education class
mm-hmm.
and that kind of came up in topic about donor milk. And, you know, every mom is creating antibodies specific for her baby
yep.
and their needs
yep.
and also one of the big things that they talked about was the gut microbiome
yep.
and the breast milk is so important to help establish baby's microbiome.
Absolutely.
And so that was something I was thinking about, like, how does that work
mm-hmm.
if you have donor milk, and is there any reason that you wouldn't want to use donor milk, like based on you have someone else's different.
Sure. It's really a positive thing.
Yeah.
You know, they screen the milk. They make sure that, you know, mom is, you know, taking medication that's safe, or if she's on a certain medication, then she may not be able to donate. So they have a lot of rules set in place to make sure that it's a safe thing for these little tiny fragile babies, especially
yeah.
those babies in the NICU. And breast milk, really, like you said, with the microbiome, it's a protective factor. It helps protect their gut. It almost creates like a coating. We always say that colostrum is like baby's first vaccine. So it's really important. And so being able to, you know, if a mom's not able to produce enough breast milk, or her milk's just not quite in yet and baby needs to be supplemented, breast milk is going to be a way safer alternative than formula. And so having this option for parents to be able to choose, okay, I'm going to supplement with this bottle of pasteurized breast milk versus the bottle of formula, it's going to help keep that microbiome nice and safe, nice and clean, protect baby. And then, you know, the antibodies from all sorts of women, that's amazing to be able to have protective factors from all of these different things. Not, you know, mom is producing baby's antibodies for that one baby, which is amazing. But if you're going to get donor milk, you might as well take advantage of, you know, all of the women being
yeah.
able to donate, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
And when they pasteurize, I mean, pasteurizing is basically they heat it
mm-hmm.
to kill off any kind of like bad bacteria.
Absolutely.
Correct.
Yep. And you know, pasteurizing does kill off, you know, the living cells. Breast milk is a living fluid.
Sure.
And so pasteurizing does kill off those living cells, but the studies that they've done and the research that they've done, you know, check out the Mother's Milk Bank of the Western Great Lakes because they have a lot of research out there. Even, you know, pasteurizing it, it is still so beneficial compared to formula. I was at a continuing ed one time, and Summer Kelly, who's their executive director, was speaking, and she put up this slide that showed, you know, what ingredients that formula has, you know, how many carbohydrates, fat, protein, etc., versus, you know, pasteurized donor milk versus, you know, mom's milk, and the benefits that even pasteurized milk has over formula outweighs everything. So if you have the option and the means to be able to, you know, get pasteurized milk, it's such a huge benefit for baby.
Yeah, and I have heard too, like, even though with heating you're going to kill off some of like the good bacteria that's establishing your gut bacteria, however, the exoskeletons or like the shells of that are still in there, and it's still, that can still be important to like establish that good community of gut bacteria. So
Yeah, it was interesting. So my sister just had to have a colonoscopy a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
And so she's only 20 years old, but I convinced her to have a breast milk smoothie. So after her colonoscopy, the first thing that she ate was breast milk. And I didn't think she was going to do it, but I was very pleased that she did. And it just was a protective factor. She's got this nice, healthy, clean colon and gut. You know, let's protect that for her.
Yeah.
So we were able to do that. She drank a breast milk smoothie. It's on my Facebook. I got a video of her doing it. It's great.
Nice.
But, you know, she's felt really great since then. And, I, you know, I blame the breast milk, but, you know, that's just me.
Yeah, the course I was at was all about nutrition and really, really emphasized the importance of our gut bacteria and how there's so much research out there linking unhealthier, you know, unbalanced gut bacteria to all these issues, anxiety, depression, autism, ADHD. I mean, just like the list goes on and on. It's crazy. Yeah. So, and especially I think when you're talking in the postpartum population, postpartum depression is such a big issue for so many, you know, wherever you are on that spectrum, but they're showing research that a lot of new moms, really these symptoms that they're having with postpartum depression is stemming from like an unhealthy gut bacteria.
I haven't heard that, but that's super cool. I mean, not cool, but it's interesting how they're linking that together. Wow.
Yes. So, like I said, I feel like this is such a missing piece in our practice with women's health, just in general, regardless of, you know, pregnancy, postpartum, or whatever stage you're in. But yeah, very interesting when you're talking like the postpartum depression and pregnancy is already depleting your body of these nutrients that we need.
Everything goes to the baby, right?
But if your gut bacteria is not in a healthy state, that you're a lot more likely to have a lot of these symptoms.
That's interesting. So, I would love to read that research because I think it's fascinating. And I think more women should know that because then, you know, they may be likely to promote a healthy gut and even take a probiotic. Anything you can do to really just support your gut system, it makes you feel like a whole new person. It really does.
Yeah. Maybe they're going to have to all do breast milk smoothies too.
They should.
We'll have to do our own little
study. I love it. I love it. Let's do it.
I'll look back in my notes. I'll see if I can find the article that talked about that, and I'll link in the show notes if I can find it.
That's
so
awesome.
If I can get access to it, we'll see.
Yeah, that'd be great.
But yeah, cool. So with the donor milk, like, can anyone come and get milk?
So you can get up to 10 bottles, and there's 4 ounces in each bottle.
Okay.
You can get 10 bottles without a prescription, and then after that 10 bottles, you would need a prescription from either your doctor or baby's doctor. A lot of times it's baby's doctor since they're the one consuming it. But yeah, you can get, you know, 10 bottles without a prescription, which is really great. And it's nice because, you know, at the birth center specifically, if we've got a mom where they're, you know, really long labor, or she had to go in for a repair, or, you know, whatever's going on, we have it on hand. We can warm up a bottle. 4 ounces goes a long way with a newborn.
Yeah.
So it's a really great option for families who just need that little extra boost. They're waiting for mom's milk to come in. Even if you delivered at a hospital and you had a really long labor, a lot of fluids, a lot of intervention, you know, sometimes that can delay your milk from coming in up to 10 days in some situations. And so being able to have pasteurized donor milk on hand to say, okay, you don't have to go to formula if you don't want to. If you want to continue with breast milk, here's a really great option. So yeah, you can get, you know, several bottles without a prescription and get everything kind of off to a really good start.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And my understanding is that it'll be at Authentic, and then there's also another one in Brookfield.
Yeah, MD Custom RX. They have donor milk available there as well. Okay. So, you know, whatever location is closest to you, those are the two that are in our community that are nearby. I'm not sure how much they charge per bottle, but we charge $19 per bottle.
Okay.
And it's really, we have to pay for the milk to have it in our facility.
Okay.
And us charging $19 doesn't, this is not a profit or a big money maker by any means. We just need enough to keep the electricity for the freezer on.
Gotcha.
So, you know, I think they charge $20 a bottle. So, we try to make it as affordable as we possibly can for these families to come and have, you know, this wonderful option if they need it.
But you do, like, those two locations, really, that's it for
within our
southeastern Wisconsin?
Yeah, there's, you know, pharmacies up near Madison and other, you know, areas of Wisconsin and some in northern Illinois. They're really expanding the Mother's Milk Bank of the Western Great Lakes. They're, you know, they're trying to create as many depots and dispensaries as they can. But, yeah, you know, having only two within southeastern Wisconsin, it's limiting, but it's great that we can offer that. And so hopefully more will pop up. But for now, we're here if they need it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And so if a mom wants to apply to be a donor, she could just do that through, like, the Mother's Milk Bank,
correct?
Yep,
so we have information available at Authentic for them to, you know, we'll give them a flyer and say, here's kind of the instructions that they'll give you. We can kind of go over things. But ultimately, they'll contact the Mother's Milk Bank of the Western Great Lakes. Like I said, they usually do, like, a phone interview or an in-person interview, just have, like, a run-through of questions. And then you have to have a blood test done, but the milk bank pays for it, so you don't have to worry about those extra costs. And then as soon as you're an approved donor with a donor ID number, you can drop off as much milk as you'd like. I think we got a donation today of 200 ounces, and we haven't officially even opened up yet. So I think we're going to be a really popular spot, and it's just so great to be able to say thank you for this donation. I mean, it's coming from somebody's body. It's like a living thing that they're donating to us, and we couldn't be more grateful.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it really is.
When I had my son, everyone talks about, like, the second night is the babies tend to be so much more fussy and stuff like that. And for us, it was the first night.
Okay.
He was just, like, so, like, upset. Mm. And you could tell he was just, like, ravenously hungry.
Sure.
And I'm like, man, he seems hungry. And, like, I'm obviously not giving enough.
Yeah.
And so we, this was at the hospital, and we had asked our nurse, like, could we maybe get a little bit of formula or something? Like, I think he's hungry. And she was arguing with us and said, oh, no, he's fine. Like, he's just, you know, wanting to be soothed. And I'm like, no, he really seems hungry.
Yeah.
And so fast forward, like, 2 days, and he had ended up, like, losing too much weight, needed a billy blanket.
Yep.
And then once, like, my milk came in, and I actually had to start supplementing with formula just because of that.
Sure.
But then my milk came in and I was pumping, and it was like, oh my gosh, he got that first, like, full bottle and he was a completely different baby. And
definitely.
I'm like, I knew it. You were hungry.
Yeah,
so
mama knows
I
best.
Wished, you know, and I feel like now in my mind, I have this, like, set, like, every baby I have, like, I'm just coming into it prepared. Like, I'm just going to have something for that first, like, day or two if they need it. But that would have been, like, such a great option to have, like, some donor milk for that. So
there you go. Next baby. You keep that in mind.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, I'll link to all of that in the show notes. So if anyone's interested in that. So, well, thank you so much for coming and talking. Yeah, this was, I really enjoyed this, and I think really informative.
Cool.
Before we kind of wrap it up, I guess I have two more questions for you, but I feel like just breastfeeding in general, there's so much pressure on moms nowadays to, like, you have to be breastfeeding. And is there ever a point that you say, or you have a client where you're like, this just isn't going to work, and maybe, like, switching to something like formula or donor milk. What does that look like for you?
So I am not here to tell you how to feed your baby. So if a mom comes in and, you know, sometimes they need permission to say, I can't do this. And if I can be that person to say, that's okay. You know, you did this for 1 day, 2 days, no days, you know, that doesn't make you a better mom or worse mom. You are still this baby's mama. And so, you know, if they come in to me and they're like, I don't think I want to breastfeed anymore, or, you know, if we're dealing with, you know, extenuating circumstances, postpartum depression, low supply, you know, whatever's going on, and they need someone to tell them that it is okay for them not to breastfeed, I'm happy to be that person for them. I'm really there to be a support person and to help them feed their baby in whatever capacity that means for them. And so if they, you know, want to breastfeed for a day, lovely, let's make that happen. And if they want to breastfeed for a week and then see how it goes, and if they want to continue, perfect, let's give this a shot and see where we land. So I try to really be focused on that mom and that baby and what's going to be best for them. And if we have to have a conversation, you know, let's have it. But I usually tell parents, you know, let's not quit on a bad day. Come back tomorrow, come back next week. Let's see how you're doing from there. And every parent gets my email address. And then also, if you call the Authentic Birth Center phone number and press 3, it gets redirected to my cell phone. So they can call me anytime with questions like, hey, you know, baby's doing this. What does that mean? Or should I do this? Or how do I do that? You know, we can kind of work through and troubleshoot, you know, as we go, to make sure that they feel supported and they feel like they are meeting whatever goals that they have set for themselves.
Yeah. Awesome. What's kind of like your biggest piece of advice for any woman that's currently pregnant or maybe a new mom?
Yeah. Get help early. Okay. You know, there's no reason to power through. Or, you know, I've had so many, you know, women say, well, my friend told me just to wait 3 weeks. And if I could get to 3 weeks, it was going to get better. Well, don't wait. Don't make your nipples bleed if they don't have to. Let's get in here. Let's get things taken care of. See what we can do. You know, we've got a really great network of people. We've got a physical therapist. We've got chiropractor. You know, you guys are all here as support people. And so, you know, let's figure out what's going on. Let's get the help early and often. And that usually makes such a huge difference.
Yeah, that's great advice. I couldn't have said it better myself because that's something I say all the time.
Good.
But I feel like it's probably very similar. A lot of times new moms are like, oh, I just need to give it a little bit of time. Like, it'll get better with time. And oftentimes it doesn't. Right. It just kind of sometimes snowballs, and unfortunately. So
absolutely.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right. So I ask everybody, what is your current favorite way of doing self-care? Because I feel like as women, it's really difficult for us sometimes to prioritize that. So if this maybe gives our listeners like some inspiration, what's kind of your really current go-to?
I really like, this is lame, but let's like, my husband and I will just sit on the couch and we will watch a movie, and like, I can kind of zone out a little bit. I usually will make him clean up dinner, which he's very happy to do. And then I go take a shower and like turn the water up as hot as I can stand it and just like sit in there, maybe get some essential oils going, take a nice hot shower, and then come out and watch a silly movie. And that usually does the trick for me. If it's a really nice day out, my husband and I like to geocache. I don't know if you're familiar with it. Basically, it's like an online treasure hunt where you go and find little treasures and trinkets, and you put your name on a log. We found over 1,100 so far. And so that's a really great way for me to like get outside, get some vitamin D, kind of decompress a little bit, and spend time with him. So that's a lot of fun too.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I've never tried it. Have like seen a lot about it.
But yeah, check it out. It's a lot of fun.
Interesting.
Yeah, get outside at least.
Yeah, right? For sure. Anything outside I feel like is enjoyable. But well, thank you so much again for coming today and taking the time to share your expertise with us.
It was a lot of fun. Anytime.
Where can our listeners find you?
Yeah, so my office is based out of Authentic Birth Center in Wauwatosa. I have a website, petersonlactationservices.org, or Facebook, Peterson Lactation Services. Let me know how I can help.
Awesome. And I'll put all of that, I'll put links for all of that in the show notes. So if you're listening, you can always head to the show notes to find that easily. But
cool.
Awesome. Well, thank you again. And we'll have to catch up again sometime in the future.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for tuning in today to my conversation with Molly. Stay tuned for your pelvic floor tip of the day. If you want to find any of the resources we mentioned in today's episode, head on over to our show notes at revitalize-pt.com/EP07. Again, that is revitalize-pt.com/EP07. And today's pelvic floor tip of the day is, use a squatty potty when going to the bathroom in order to help the pelvic floor muscles relax, and so you don't have to strain to go at all. That's going to make it much easier. If you don't have one already, now's the time to add it to your Christmas list. All right, I will see you on the next episode, same time, same place.